Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you...
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Gonna just enjoy myself, go with the flow. My money is like a bunny, it goes forth and multiplies. I send it out and let it go, it comes back to me.
My money is like a bunny, it goes forth and multiplies. I don't care what my bank account says. I got money. I got money. Look at that money tree. Yes. Karen Drucker tells us, reminding us that our money is like a bunny. It goes forth and multiplies. If I could only find my bunny, so I could know where it's dropping the money. Right now, it is what it is. Karen Drucker, my money is like a bunny. What an affirmation. You know, you can listen to that every day, every morning, every minute, especially when you're going into the bank or going to the ATM. Just play that song. And you look in there and say, oh, I don't care what the numbers say. My money has gone forth and multiplied. Yes, indeed. Karen Drucker, to find out more about her, website address is karendrucker.com. Karendrucker.com. And we started the show with Carly Jackson, reminding us that we are one. To find out more about Carly Jackson, you can go to, you can find on Facebook, Carly Jackson, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A. X-E-N. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Don't ever question that you make a difference, because you make a difference because you're alive, because you exist, because you're here, because you're listening to this show, because you tuned in to the show, and you're tuning in to yourself. When you tune in to yourself, you get the information you need, because you become still and tap into intuition. That's where all the answer is. Sometimes it may not be clear in that moment, but the universe will send somebody on your path. You're meditating, how am I going to have more money? I need to lease this house, I need to buy this, I don't have money. You're tuning into the spirit guiding you. What is seeking to be birthed? What do I need to see here? Don't stress. Reverend Karen Luther is in the house. So just make a difference by becoming still. Yes, indeed. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the official time. Sometimes we play a little bit longer. But as one of my listeners said, you know, you've been staying on longer for the last few weeks. Yeah, I don't know. I just surrender. But anyway, we usually finish with the guests around 1:15, 1:30. And the shows are archived like 10, 15 minutes after the show. You can come back and listen to the show. You can go to iTunes and download it. Share it with your friends, share it with your lovers, share it with your haters. You don't really have a hater. You think you do, but you don't. They're just helping you recognize who you really want, who you are. They're helping you recognize the love that you are. And if you think you have an enemy, some people believe they have an enemy, relax. It's just your enemy. You're projecting your own issues out onto somebody else, and you say, I'm an enemy. But when you share the show with them, you realize, whoa, I share the show with my enemy. And I'm feeling good because you give the love to your so-called enemy and you feel the remedy move through your body. Indeed. Let's see. What else did I need to tell you? Today's show, we're talking about discovering spiritual money mastery with Reverend Karen Russo. I have to make sure I showed up for this show today. I have to listen to this show because I need this show. So I'm glad that whoever this guy is, life coach, I think he's doing the show. I got to hear this show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346, for your questions and your comments for Reverend Karen Russo. Make sure you press one on your keypad. We're also taking your questions on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page or like page, whatever you want to call it. You know, once you get used to it, Facebook will change it again. Facebook believes in change. They're helping us grow. But right now it's like page. I'm still holding on to the fan page. You can post your question on there. If you don't do Facebook, can't get on for whatever reason, your internet is tripping. Well, if your internet's tripping, this other option is not going to help you. But if you can't get on Facebook or don't do Facebook and your internet is not tripping, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a tab there, Ask Life Coach at a kick on that and fill in the email. And if you don't want us to say your name, I will. I mean, I won't. So just let us know. But if you really want to call in and say, you know, I just can't deal with this computer stuff. I don't have money to buy computers. I just need to call. I have a dumb phone. I don't have a smartphone yet. So I'm just calling 347-426-3346. Quick announcements about upcoming guests. Well, before that, 1 o'clock today we have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, so stay tuned for that. That happens every day, Monday to Thursday, around 1. And then next week we have all the Reverends hanging out with us. We have Reverend Sylvia Seward, even. She was the first guest we had in this year, 2012. And the topic was the courage to live your own truth. It was the first show of the year. We were talking about, you know, we step into a new year, it's time to live our own truth. So she's coming back on Monday, and we're having a mid-year review. June is almost over. 2013 and 14 is almost around the corner. Yes, I think 13 and 14 is around the corner. Let's have a review. How's your life going? What's happened? What are you dealing with? What are you going through and growing through? Silver Seward will be here to support you and guide you to your next level, whatever that is for you. On Tuesday, real quick, we have Desiree Moody and Nadine. Don't think about it. Just say, gosh. See, she has a different name, an interesting name like mine. Okay, Schweigert. There you go, Schweigert. I had to just... Nadine Schweigert and Desiree Moody, they're joining us. The show title is I Married Myself. Now, Desiree married herself. Nadine married herself. So they had a wedding ceremony. They did a vow. They invited friends and family because they just said, you know, I deserve all the love. I don't have to wait on anybody to give me the love. Now, that may be a strange idea to some of you listening now, but you can find out on Tuesday next week why they did that. And if you're still stuck in that statement, don't worry about it. Just come back to the present moment. We'll deal with that on Tuesday. Take a breath and breathe out. Ah, yes, and then we have Ancestral Blueprints next Wednesday with Lisa Iverson. Just check out the calendar on lifeconversationsmedia.com. I think I am ready to bring on Reverend Karen Russo. I want my money to be like a money to go forth and multiply. Yes, Lord. Lay hands on me, Reverend. Please lay hands on my bank account. Let me read a little bit about her. Let me do this. And let's go here. So much to do. Let's just take a break. Let's take a breath, I mean. Yeah, take a break and take a breath. Take a holy breath right here. Well, we're not going on an adventure right now. Well, we are actually going on an adventure. We're just not going to play the song. Let's see. Let me pull this up, and I'm ready to bring on Reverend Karen Russo. Yes, yes, yes. Here we go. Evelyn Caruso is your spiritual guide in wealth creation. She is the award-winning author of The Money Key, Unlocking Peace, Freedom, and Real Financial Power. And the book, it was endorsed by her teachers, Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, T. Harv Eker, Catherine Woodard, and Bob Proctor. So, you know, that's a high, heavy quality book. I think just by holding that book, your money will multiply. With her unusual blend of experience as an MBA from Columbia University, an accomplished corporate trainer, top-selling salesperson, and an ordained interfaith minister, Karen shares insights from over 25 years of spiritual and circle of success. Karen has appeared in the Empower movies. She's appeared on TV shows, Fox, Good Morning America, Good Morning America. Yeah, I'm speaking that into existence. Good Morning Arizona, in Networking Times, Arizona Republic, and The Science of Mind magazine. And guess what she did for her 50th birthday? She ran and finished her fourth marathon. She must be running with her bunny. No wonder she's so happy. You see her picture, she's just smiling. But anyway, let's jump into this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, we need all of you. Physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Reverend Karen Lusso. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Please help us to multiply our money. Everybody's wanting to know. What do you got that you don't know?
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. And I'll tell you right off the bat, I don't have anything that each one of us and you and me doesn't have. But what I do have is a lot of interest in understanding what is it, how it works, and I'm happy to share that. So just know the big message that you've been sharing, Life Coach Ade, is that all of us are already at one with everything we desire. So, you know, that's what our conversation is going to be about today, just how to activate and bring forward the magnificence we already are.
Indeed. My intellectual mind was going to say, Reverend Karen, I don't think so. Your bank account is looking prettier than mine. But then the spiritual mind kicked in. We are one. So what's in your bank account is mine.
Exactly.
All I got to do is ask.
You know, that's a really, you know, I would definitely say as I was listening this morning, I so appreciate you and Celeste and everyone who's helped to get us to this moment. As I was listening to the beautiful song, the, you know, the oneness song, I wrote an email this morning that was the tiniest bit snippy, and I just realized, oh my goodness, I wrote that to myself. So, you know, we're always learning, right? It's like if I give out even the teensiest bit of snippy, it's coming back. And, you know, at the same time, if I see someone who's got excellent financial circulation and a business that is thriving and growing, I am one with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I read a little bit about you, just a tiny bit. There's so much more. You're doing amazing work. I've caught you in several times. It's like either I'm tracking you or you're tracking me. But, oh, I forgot. We're one. We're not tracking each other. We're one. So I find you everywhere. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Reverend Karen Lusso?
You know, I'm a being all about integration. That's really my, like, the big thing that you need to know about me is that I am a deeply committed spiritual student and seeker. I'm very much connected to the idea of this infinite, eternal oneness and creativeness of all life. And same, so deeply spiritual, and I'm a deeply materially oriented person in that I love living on planet Earth. So I love the human body and hiking in Arizona where I live, and I love good food, and I'm, you know, and I love sports and TV and, you know, all of the pleasures of the earthly plane that are interesting to me. I'm spiritual and material. I'm a God person and a money person. And partly what people will hear as we have our conversation today is you're getting an example of a vibration of a person who is deeply connected to the principles of God and is totally interested and happy and connected to money and investing and businesses and currency. And that can exist at the same time. So I think, you know, who I am is a person who demonstrates spirituality and money together.
Yes. Yes, yes, and I'm grateful for that. You talk about integration. I know I need that integration in my life, and I know people, especially in the spiritual community, there's still this challenge between, well, you shouldn't ask for money, or don't focus on the money, or it's not that we don't want the money, but when we bring money into the equation, everybody start going, oh, okay, let's meditate, let's chant, I don't know, let's not talk about money, let's just do what we love. So you being able to bring the integration is very needed, and not just the spiritual community, just all of us, really, because money has such a, for whatever reason, has a strong, or what it represents has a strong energy, and we're either excited about it, fearful about it. We have all these ideas, but we're going to jump into the, we're going to talk more about that. So let's start from the beginning. You know, we're talking about spiritual money mastery. Why is it important for individuals to desire to move to their next level of power, love, and spiritual embodiment?
Well, I call spiritual money mastery more of a state of being than an amount of currency. So often you'll hear wealth teachers talk about, I can make you a millionaire or get you to a 6 or 7 figure business, or, you know, looking for the end state being a particular digit or an amount of something. And right away, I want people to hear that spiritual money mastery is a state of being that has 4 elements. And I'm going to give you the end and the beginning, and you can experience that right now. So spiritual money mastery has 4 elements, and we can experience it right now. And I'm going to talk about what those 4 things are.
Sure.
The first is, it's a spirituality about money that is inspired, not fearful. And by spirituality, I mean it's a relationship with the divine about money that inspires you.
Mm.
The second element is belief about money, thought, emotion, and conversation that is created.
What happened?
I know. I'll finish all 4, and then we'll go like. The third is habits, consistent behaviors with money that are streamlined and in circulation and orderly, not overwhelmed and messy. And finally, spiritual money mastery is the capacity to fund your dreams. And right now, everybody's doing that. Right now, everybody has a spirituality about money, beliefs about money, habits about money, and is in the process of funding their lives right now. And all of those things, you know, you can upgrade and expand and deepen and move into a greater sense of empowerment because we're infinite beings. All of those can be deepened. But it's not something you have to wait until later, until you get something to experience.
Not something that we have to wait. So what's the first one again? Because we had
the 3 areas, spirituality, beliefs, and habits.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Spirituality, beliefs, and habits. Yeah. And
so, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and my one tip right up front is, because you said it so beautifully, Ade, you said people who are spiritual, they're enjoying the vibe of creating something together, you're in a project or a conversation, and then the talk turns to money and you can feel the energy decline and people sort of want to step away or it's polluted now, blah, blah. And here's what I want to say is, I think of money as a neutral substance. It's a symbol, those digits on the screen, the pieces of paper that get exchanged, the metal objects, those are symbols of communication, supply, transaction. Money's not a thing with a separate power. In fact, money is neutral, but the meaning we make about money is very powerful, and you and I are making the meaning. We're the meaning makers.
Yes. Meaning-making machines we are. Let's talk about the meaning. And the meaning of money gets passed down from generations to generation, and it becomes part of our DNA, you know. There's all this meaning that our parents make about money, and they pass that on to us, and then we grow up, especially we move into a new awareness where we get to know ourselves differently, that God is all there is, God is everything, and abundance is everywhere. But somehow it's like there's that programming in our hard drive, in our consciousness, that we just can't seem to delete because we think, well, you know, only certain kind of people have money, or rich people are mean and greedy. And even though we may not want to admit it, or I feel guilty about not having money, I'm ashamed that I don't have money to do what I want to do. How do we go about deleting or even looking at the meaning we're giving money so that we can start? Well, really, it's about working with our beliefs, isn't it? How do we go about changing that?
Yes. Well, you know, I would say I'm going to give us a place to start. And then I want to mention, because you caught it right away, it's actually the way to really change is to activate all 3 areas. That's so one of the big tips, one of the big insights I want people to catch is that many people will try to have a different financial experience using only one of the areas, like they'll deepen spiritually, but they won't change their behaviors, their habits, or they'll work on their affirmations and beliefs, but they leave God out of it. So but this is one of the big insights, is work all three areas. But even before we get there, I want to say this. Every single person who's listening to Life Conversations, who is connected to you, every single person who's listening to this, whoever listens to this, already has somewhere in their life where they have made the integration between the spiritual and the material, and they get it. So every one of us, for example, some people will look into the eyes of a child and they will see life is eternal, this precious innocent being, this is inside. Like, some people have that. Or their relationship with food and nourishment is so sacred, and they realize, you know, as I plant this garden and then I harvest it and I eat it, they can feel the oneness that is, you know, eternal. Others will see it in art or music or, you know, the body temple or the environment. If there's any area of your material life, relationship with the beloved, family, if there's any area of human living where you know God is represented here, God, spirit, life, divine, whatever, if you can do it anywhere, then you can benchmark yourself. You can use yourself as an inspiration. Go, if I can see that food and the body is a sacred way, like sacred temple, this is where I celebrate the divine in human form, if I can do it here, I can do it with my money.
So let's use that concept, and I'm going to use myself as an example. I don't mind being a guinea pig. So there are times when I am making a payment or buying something, and the recurring thought for me, you know, usually when I look at my account and my money is smiling back at me, I smile back at my money. But there's times I look at my bank account, my bank account is frowning. I'm hungry. I need some money. But when my money is smiling at me, when I'm making buying something or whatever I'm doing with money, this comes up for me. I have this feeling like, oh my God, I got to be careful. You know, I get this feeling like there won't be enough for me to get another one. It's going to get some more. It's going to take a while. So there's this automatically programming that kicks in. Now, how do I integrate God in that when I'm making a purchase, when I'm giving someone money or someone asks me for money or whatever the case may be, and the feeling comes up like, oh, careful, don't use all your money up because you know there's not enough.
Yeah. Well, so a couple of things. So number one is it's really good to start to have a technology or a framework for – so first of all, thank you for being – today is all about guinea pigs and bunnies. So thank you for being a guinea pig.
You're an integrator. Yes, I like that. Guinea pigs and bunnies, indeed.
So thank you for bringing that forward, because this is – what's rich about this is – even that thing of like, I go to make a purchase and what gets triggered for me is some fear, which turns out has a spiritual solution, and a thought, which has the beliefs area, and it's connected to a behavior, habits area. So we could take that, your entire situation, and what I like to share with people is this idea of wealth yoga or their money map, where we can look at all three areas. So that you start to say, you know, just like people would say, if you want to develop as a life coach or you want to develop as, you know, a meditator or you want to develop as a healer, you're going to learn and practice and grow. And it's kind of interesting that sometimes people think, well, you know, money, they get a little bit superstitious, like, you know, I'll do a couple of superstitious things and then it will just change by some kind of magic outside of me. You know,
right.
Which is a little bit, I call that financial fantasy, which is not the same as affirming something new, right?
Right.
But it's possible to develop ourselves in those three areas, and what we could take your situation and use it as an example as we run through this idea of wealth yoga. Should we do a little wealth yoga together? Yeah.
Let's do a wealth yoga. Let's do some stretching. I need to stretch my consciousness and delete that program. Go ahead.
Exactly. All right, good. Well, all right, so I'm going to, you know, I'm sitting here in my home office in beautiful, and I'm going to stand up right
beautiful
now.
Beautiful where? There's some, I don't know what's interesting. It is what it is. You said you're seeing something, you're beautiful. We've got to hear that word. You just went out.
Oh, goodness. I'm in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, which is in the southwest of the United States.
What is interrupting our conversation? There's something getting in the way of this transformation. So everybody that has some trigger about growing in consciousness, just let it go, okay? Just let it go. Put down your resistance. We want to grow.
We do.
All right, let's try it again. Go ahead.
Okay, good. We definitely do want to grow. I heard some clicks earlier, but I feel like the line is clear and clean now.
Okay, great.
Yeah, let's do a little wealth yoga. So if you are, if you're able to, I would say put everything down and stand up, and we're going to do a little wealth yoga together. And people know that yoga means union. So we're going to union our physical body with this idea of developing a spiritual approach to money. And we're going to begin by just standing with your feet flat, your breath relaxed, arms at your sides. And let's just take a breath in and release it. And now take your right hand, your right arm, and just move it a little bit. And with your right hand, go ahead and create right next to your body a little fist with your right hand and look down at it. And it's a little loose fist. And you can feel when you create that with your hand, a little fist, there's a little bit of weight that pulls your arm down. This represents what's so in your money life. And what's so is the current facts and circumstances. Could be what you look at in your bank account. It could be the income that comes into your business. It could be the value of the real estate you own. It could be the amount of debts that you have. It could be, you know, your circumstances, like I'm rebuilding after divorce, or I'm growing my healing business. But go ahead and just think about your facts and circumstances of your money life. And you can feel a little weight. That's what's so. And now take your left arm and stretch it up diagonally up to the sky and look up at your left hand and wiggle your fingers. This represents what's possible now in your money life. This is your desires and dreams, the big why of growing your wealth. When I was visioning for the Money Keys book and ministry, one of my friends and I were visioning in Manhattan Beach, California, and it came out loud and clear, you know, it's not about the money, it's what's the money for. As you stretch and you feel that stretch with your left arm up, this is what's the money for in your life? What's the bigger vision? That's what's possible now. And you feel the stretch between the dropped hand and the raised hand. Now bring your head back to the center. And Ade, I'll ask you, what do you feel is between the what's so and the what's possible now?
Well, when you did as what's possible, I find myself, I felt relaxed, first of all, thinking about what was possible. And what was between it for me was my belief in the not having the money to achieve what is possible, or what I want to achieve, if you will. So it was more my thoughts. It's like to release that heavy thought, that heavy energy. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And for those of you that have been holding the pose, good for you, because you're building muscle. That is a good thing. And exactly this. We, thought, spirituality, habits, we're where wealth is expressing through us, not to us. We're the place of this journey. So go ahead and drop both arms, and we're going to continue with three more little poses here. You see, our wealth experience is not a going from one place in time to another place in time. It's being revealed through us in three areas. So raise your hands up, both hands up, and look upward. This is your spirituality. This represents your relationship with the idea of God, divine, transcendent, something greater as it relates to money. So the spirituality is the one area. And remember, here we want to go to be inspired, not fearful. And now put your hands over your solar plexus. And Ade, if we were doing this, you know, looking at your map or your wealth yoga, it feels like this is your area. This is belief. And remember, belief is a combination of the content of our thought, it's our emotional reaction and involvement with those thoughts, and it's held in place by conversation, inner and outer conversation. And remember that beliefs, we want to activate freedom, creativity, cooperation, rather than resentment and victimhood and guilt and shame. And now the final pose or posture is loosen your hands, put them down by your sides, and now start to wiggle your fingers and wiggle your toes. And this represents your actions in the world. This is your habits with money, your consistent behaviors, your systems, your transaction, literally what you do and how money flows in your life. And in this area of habits, we're looking to move from overwhelm and mess into circulation and order. So we just did wealth yoga, and you can do the final poses one last time. Spirituality, look up. We want to be peaceful and inspired. Put your hands on your solar plexus. With our beliefs about money, we're looking to be free and cooperative, and then put out your hands and feet. And with our habits with money, we're looking to be in circulation and order. So, and now give yourselves a hand. Yay, we did wealth yoga. Yay.
Yes, give yourselves a hand. Why not? Wow.
Wow.
Go ahead.
We're gonna go on and go a little deeper into some teaching in each area, but tell me how it's feeling and what you're thinking so far.
Well, what I saw, and literally, it's like it brought into focus the energy, the thought, whatever you want to call it. It brought into focus. I was able to see how I stopped myself from focusing on what is possible by just looking. I stopped at, oh, my God, money, 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 so I don't get to focus more on what is possible. Now it's like I'm talking about defragging and deleting a program. That visual helps me when I find myself in that place again to go, nope. Just go to what's possible. It really just brought it into focus on, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to really emphasize what you just said. So the key with the what's so, you want to be accurate and compassionate. So many people, one of the ways that they get sabotaged or sidetracked around money is that they do not have an accurate sense of what, you know, what they own and what they owe. They don't even really know how much is coming in and going out. And sometimes not being accurate is just a distraction. So you want to be accurate, but you also want to be compassionate, which just means, look, it's just the final circumstances that are the result of your past consciousness and experience. It's not, you know this, a basic spiritual premise. The past has no precedent over the potentiality of who we are. It's just, and frankly, the only way the past operates, and you said it so beautifully, the past only constrains us by the thought that it creates in our minds now. And I think this is a great piece of medicine for you as well as all the listeners, is, and you said it, the what's possible now, the dream, the vision, the desire. It's so much more powerful to be more involved with that than worried about the what's so. So the key with your what's possible now is you want it to be aspirational. You want your goals to call you forward. And I'm going to give a little hint that paying down my debt, it may not be aspirational enough for some people, so I'm going to talk about that in a moment. So you want it to be aspirational, and then you want to be involved with it. So it's just like if someone was a single person who wanted to be in a loving relationship. If you wandered around all day saying, it's so sad, I've been single for so long, I'm so alone, I'm really, something must be wrong with me because I'm single, rather than being in the consciousness of like, my heart is open to love. Love is all that I am. I am in, you know, communication and circulation of love at all times. Around the corner, the next beautiful individual I meet could be the perfect one for me. And I'm always, you know, I'm always smiling and open to my beloved. Like, which way is it's really obvious, right? Very
That's right.
With your money.
It's like, hello.
Yeah,
so, one of the things you gave, I wanted to say this before you move on, that being accurate, you know, now
I've been able to see something, you know, the spirituality and seeing what's possible, the belief that I don't have enough money. And the behavior and habits for me is to be accurate, to know what I have and not kind of like, oh, I'm afraid to look at my bank account. I'm, you know, to be real clear, that for me shows up as the behavior and habits. So I'm not intimidated by what I've seen in my bank account or what I have or what I think I don't have. And see how that works. That got my prescription.
Very good. Very good. And when you do have a goal, like, you know, if you're, and many people, their goals are usually around some version of, I want to increase income, want to increase more money coming into my life. So you want to have that goal be phrased in a way that inspires you, like, you know, as my contribution to the healing of, you know, of this area of living continues, I graciously receive, you know, generous circulation of, you know, tithes and contribution and revenue. You know, you want to just have it just like be inspiring. And if you are completing an obligation, you want to say like, you want that to be like, you know, every week and every month I am joyously completing this past obligation and knowing my financial freedom. That seems a little more exciting than I got to pay off this debt, right?
right.
So now we're going to go to now what I'd like us to do, because I think this will help, is in each of those areas, the spirituality, beliefs, and habits, in each area, there's a trap that can get us in trouble, and then there's a spiritual law of money, a principle that can
practice. You lost your game. Okay. You said there's a spiritual law of what? Oh,
yes.
The money gremlins or whatever. Okay. Reverend... Reverend Cameron, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk. You were talking about money traps, and then the connection got trapped.
So in each of the three areas, there is a money trap, which is a state of challenge. There is a spiritual law that can help to set us free. And then there's a practical tip in each area. So that's what I was going to share. I thought that would be a nice way to do it.
Okay, before you do that, let me just remind our listeners, if you're just joining us, my guest is Reverend Karen Russo. We're talking money. She's your spirit guide, wealth consciousness, wealth creation. We're taking your questions, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. You can also post your question on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page, like page, the page, whatever. Post it on there, we'll get to it. And to find out more about Reverend Karen, her website address is themoneykeys.com. My eyes play a game on me when I look at your website address. When I look at the money, I don't see the Y, I just see the K. So I want to call it the monkey keys. So I can't say don't do that during the show. It just knew what's going to happen. Okay, themoneykeys.com. The Y just disappears.
That's
my monkey might get in the way of my money.
That's right. We've got guinea pigs and bunnies and monkeys. Yeah, it's definitely themoneykeys.com.
Oh,
and, you know,
gosh.
Before we talk about the traps and the principle and a practical tip, should we take questions if you've got questions? Because you mentioned
that. Yes, I do actually.
Let's do that.
I have quite a few here, so let's go here. I've got one person wanting to remain anonymous. So he wants to know, how did he speak to his wife about giving money to their older children living at home as a loan? The wife gives money to the children as a loan. And they don't pay it back. And he's struggling with it. He don't know what to say. He don't know how to even start the conversation. He said, help, my marriage.
Help. You know, well, first of all, just thank you so much for asking that. And also, you know, this is such a beautiful thing. My first thing I would say is this dynamic could be a wonderful way to create some real, loving, conscious, adult shifting of relationship in the family. So look at this as an opportunity to be a wonderful parent, to have the kids become more responsible adults, to really create something very positive. And I would say it's time for the whole family, you know, maybe it's the spouses first, you know, the parents first, sit down with each other and go, you know, what are we a stand for here? You know, are we a stand for, you know, caring for our children, and what does that mean? And, you know, how much are we going to go and what is reasonable and what are we expecting? You know, so you want to have some kind of, you know, a shared idea with the spouses first. And I think it's very reasonable to go to, you know, adults who are not, you know, impaired in some ways and say, part of us loving you and seeing you as whole and as a responsible adult is we expect you to become what they say in the 12-step program, self-supporting through your own contributions. And what that probably looks like is this, this, and this. And, you know, if those kids are students or are looking for work and having challenges, is, you know, just always, I think every adult person who, you know, and it could be in a student role, in a family role, in a, you know, a homemaker role. There can be lots of different options for what this looks like. But I think there's something very beautiful about every adult person knowing, you know, here's how I make a contribution, and here's you know, the idea of income, expense, and circulation. So, for example, you know, if someone's not a child, then they're ready to know this is what the mortgage or the rent is on our family. This is what it costs for groceries. This is what it costs for this. This is what it costs for that. You know, how am I contributing? Like, that's not an ungenerous conversation to have.
Right. And what you just shared, I mean, it sounds so simple, but you just talked about the behavior and habits, how we change it. Because I know I didn't grow up in a family where my parents told me about, you know, the income and the expense circulation in the house, you know, what we're spending, how much it's cost. We didn't have that conversation. And a lot of people raising children don't talk about the mortgage or just the bills. Actually, maybe what the children hear is a complaint about the bills. And so in order to get to that place, you're saying it's important for the adults, the husband and wife, to kind of get together first and get clear about their wealth yoga, to do some wealth yoga, right?
Yeah. And really see, you know, what is being modeled. And it's not, I think, you know, and I've seen that in our own family dynamics, is that, you know, sometimes we've done things that we called a loan that, looking back on, we should have just called it a gift. We should have just said,
right.
Calling it a loan and then not having it paid back is just not excellent. You know, it just isn't good. And so the other thing would be, another guideline would be, you know, if you really are going to loan money to a family member or a friend, you want to treat that in a really professional way.
Right. I mean, if a child is living at home and parents are giving money as a loan, is that a good idea? I mean, really, it seems to me that the parents are setting themselves to fail and even encouraging guilt in the child, because the child probably, oh, those are my parents, they don't give me loan. That's my mom, that's my dad. Don't you think, is it a good idea to give loan to children while they live in your house?
I do not know the answer to that, because I think each case is going to be different. But I think there's a, that just, it's not nothing to, you know, to there's a certain point at which moving from the child into the adult that needs to be a little bit more direct and conscious. Yeah, so I don't know what the answer is to that. I think it's everyone's got it, but you definitely need to talk about it, and you need to and you need to talk about it from the use the spiritual law of money, that of unity. Everyone is whole. So, you know, if they're an adult person, you know, they probably have the capacity to find a way to live in this world. You know, so it's like, how are you empowering that, or are you treating them as if they're not whole and they don't have the intelligence of the divine within them?
I like that. Yes, ask yourself, how are you empowering your child? I like that. Yeah, then it would change how you, your behaviors and habits, because then you relate with them differently. But before, this will probably go into the money traps, because here's another question. How do I stop reliving my poverty story from my childhood? Every time I think I'm okay, I get knocked back down again. So I guess that means, you know, the story comes back up.
You know, let's take that. How do I shift my poverty story from my childhood? Every time I think I'm doing okay, I get knocked back down. Let's take that along with your experience of I go to buy something and an old thing triggers out. Let's take both of those and go through the three areas with identifying the money trap, the principle, and the tool.
Okay.
And I think that'll help.
Sure.
And I'm really glad that you mentioned, too, that for people who want to get the, we have a, a book chapter and an audio that is called Escaping the Money Traps of Scarcity, Superstition, and Survival Mode. And that's what you get when you go to themoneykeys.com. So I'm going to give just a headline in each of those three areas, but I want people to know there's another resource for that too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the area, in the area
just jump
of,
into it.
All right. In the area of spirituality, the trap that can get people stuck is the trap of scarcity. And scarcity is the anxiety-ridden idea of lack. It's fear, terror, worry about money. Ultimately, money worries are more of a faith issue than a financial one. It's more about what do you have your faith in. When you're afraid about money, in many ways, it seems like if I got money, that would make the fear go away. But it really doesn't. If you, you know, isn't that true, right?
Yeah, it is true. I'm a witness to that.
And so the principle here, the key to escape, is the law of unity, the law of oneness. And what it is it's you want to cultivate your relationship or deepen your experience of connecting to the capital S spiritual source behind the material channels where money flows. I think you're going to catch this. When we think the material channel, the generous lover, the great job, the excellent portfolio, the big mailing list, the downline, the clients, the website, when we think the government, when we think that material channel is our source, something in us is always afraid it will go away because something in us is so wise that we realize that it is a thing of this world, that it will come and go. And so because of that, what you'll never really get security from a material channel. And that's what that means is you want to develop your relationship, deepen your relationship with the source. And so I know many business owners who, a wonderful woman named Kathy is a good example. She was so fearful about her business. She was creating plastic promotional products for the mortgage business, and that business was going away, you know. And so she was so fearful, she was frozen and didn't know what to do. So her practical tip in the area of spirituality is she started to, you know, to get out of scarcity, she started to up her meditation practice, and she would do the Peace Be Still Money Keys meditation every morning to get peaceful and connected to the divine and to get in the present moment and to stop worrying about the future. You see, one of the things that's happening all day when you go to that ATM and you start to worry, you get out of the present moment and you go into a future moment, right? So part of spiritual practice, a strong spiritual practice, always has us anchored in the present moment. Reverend Rio yesterday was saying, breathe, present moment, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the present moment, the fullness of the divine is here, and we can feel peace. So when Kathy started to develop a sense of, you know, being more in the present moment, more in peace, then she would move into her office filled with creative ideas, and she started to create sustainable promotional products for environmental causes she believed in, like a new water bottle for the Denali Park in Alaska, you know, beautiful creative endeavors. Mm. So that's what I recommend if you are feeling a lot of fear about your money, is you deepen your spiritual practice, prayer, meditation, visioning, gratitude, inspiration, specifically around feeling sufficiency, feeling God is my source, feeling sustained. And the best way to do that is get in the present moment. And everybody who's listening to this, you know, in the present moment, you probably have clean water and a safe place to sleep tonight for most people, right? And there's a billion or so of our brothers and sisters here on the planet who don't have that. And I'm not saying, you know, feel pity or guilty or anything like that. I'm just saying get present, and that will help you to get more spiritually connected and peaceful. And from that, you can start to be more involved with your what's possible and more connected to the bigger vision.
Yeah, yeah. As I'm listening to you, you know, if I say that God is all there is, I know that everything is energy. And then when it comes to paying a bill, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to whatever I need money for, and I go to, don't have enough, there won't be enough, that it lets me know there's more work to do to embody what I'm saying. Because I think, you know,
exactly.
We can speak the words, we can, you know, spew it out easily, but we got to embody the spiritual truth so that it becomes a way of being once we embody it. That's what I get from that.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, and then we keep going. So we go to the area of beliefs, and like the dear caller who asked, you know, how do I let go of my poverty story? Well, in the area of belief, remember we said it's thought, emotion, conversation. The trap in this area is superstition. It's the mistaken story that somewhere, somehow, we are victims in our money life. It's the idea that someone or something outside of us controls our financial freedom. And whenever we're in superstition, it always feels like a jail, like a trap. And
right.
You'll know you're in superstition if you have a lot of focus on the past. They did this to me. Well, you see, my family was this way. Well, look at the government. Well, look at my spouse. Well, look at my boss. Well, look at these competitors. Look at this investment. You're telling a story about the past where you get to be the victim. Or maybe you're the perpetrator and you feel guilt or shame. Or maybe you feel like a victim and you feel anger or resentment. But if you've got that emotional tone or a lot of storytelling, then probably you're stuck in superstition. And this can happen for even very sophisticated spiritual seekers. It's the maybe there won't be enough. Money is mostly for other people. Just the stuff you said earlier today, you know, rich people are fill in the blank, you know, greedy,
right.
Ungiving, this, that. All of that kind of stuff, or the story of, you know, I had a poverty upbringing, all of that keeps us in the superstition. God. And, you know, the key to escape, is to use, here comes your law, the laws of co-creation, or the law of cause and effect, or law of attraction, but to use those laws with the realization that consciousness creates experience and consciousness can be changed. And that's lawful. That's because the choice that we have in the present moment to think, to emote, and to speak, that's where we have dominion, and we can always choose to have a new experience regardless of circumstance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Go ahead. I was going to say, and the way to shift belief, you know, because that's what the caller asked, is there's really a three-step process. You need to heal. Well, first of all, you need to, like, inquire and understand what the old belief is. So I would encourage that person with the poverty story to write it out one last final time. Write the whole story out. Then you want to go into healing, forgiveness. And in healing and forgiveness, you tell the story for the last time. Notice I keep saying for the last time to a, you know, to a coach or a mentor or to, you know, life coach Ade or to, you know, a counselor or a practitioner. You tell the story, you rip up the paper, you burn it, you allow the emotion to release, and you forgive yourself. You release the judgments about yourself that you're harboring. And then this takes tremendous courage. You must not entertain the story anymore. That's when you move into co-creation, into affirming what you do want. And that's where you notice if you're standing at the ATM and that comes up, you must stop and you must say, I, Ade, am creating a new story. I am creating a story that is based on the truth that, you know, the universe is for me. Everything is working together for my good. There are always opportunities for me to give and receive. I am creating, you know, like you might have to just stand there at the ATM. People are going to be behind you, be like, dude, come on. But you're going to have to reprogram yourself. So that's how we change belief. You know, is it? And, I mean, every coach and teacher will tell you that it takes some, I'm not going to say so much work, but it is a process. And so the tip in this area is would be, you know, choose one old story that you're willing to let go of and go through, you know, inquire, forgive, and then create what you do want.
Yes,
yes, and write the story out. Well, we got another, actually, I'm going to tie the two together. We've got another email question, and then we've got a caller, and it's similar. The email question said, how can I start a business with no capital or personal asset? And then we have Donna as well. She has similar stories. She said, Donna, you're live. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, so hello, Ade. Hello, Reverend Russo.
Yeah.
And okay, so this is the thing. I'm in a transition where I'm shifting from being an interior designer of homes to the interior designer bringing it inwards to human beings and, you know, whatever that's going to look like. But, and this is the thing. I know this is my soul calling and I'm ready. I've stepped into it. But the financial aspect of it, that's what's coming up right now. I don't actually have another job on the side right now to sustain me financially. I've got kind of a little cushion. And that's why I called in, because you said, I hooked up to the call just when you said the ATM, and I was going to the ATM, and I'm like, I've noticed that this week, each time I've looked at the bank account, I'm starting to cringe, and I'm aware that that's lack of consciousness. So how do I be in that space of... you know, like, the worry is there, but not giving it place, but yet, like, ready to create and enter and step into my true soul calling. How do I deal with those feelings? Like, I don't feel stuck. I feel a little bit confused. I do feel a little bit worried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I deal with that period?
Beautiful. Well, I'm so glad, Donna, that you called. And it's actually, you know, what's very interesting is I'm going to use your question to talk about the third area, which is the habits area, because it's the actions and behaviors and systems with money. And the trap here is what's called survival mode, with like financial quicksand. The harder we work, the more we feel stuck. And maybe we're a little bit overwhelmed and we notice things are dwindling. We might be busy, but we're not really getting anywhere. And you see, the spiritual law, or the key to escape there, is the law of circulation. And here's what I want to say to you. When you're starting a new business, the law of circulation, all of life is giving and receiving. And I use the infinity symbol to represent circulation. One of the things I often will see is that people will want to launch a business or start a new endeavor, and I'm going to use a kind of a phrase that might be a little tough to hear, but I think you can handle it, and that is sometimes people will launch poor, meaning that they don't have the capital or the systems or the things set up or the client base to really sustain income and salary for them as they grow the business, and it will feel really uncomfortable. And part of why it may feel uncomfortable is that actually that's a good piece of information, because it may not be sustainable for you to launch a business without any capital or without any income coming in. So I'm going to give you both a spiritual point of view and a little bit of a couple of ideas to work with. But how is this sounding so far? I want to just check into how this feels for me to be saying this.
No, it's just beautiful. Just I'm ready to. I'm completely receptive. And I'm completely receptive.
Excellent. Okay, good. So here's the thing: is that when you start a new venture, especially in today's world, I would say you want to, from the beginning, establish your new venture to be graceful receiving and generous giving, which means you want to be starting from the beginning to have clients and income before you don't even need a website or this or that. You just go out and talk to people and say, I'm piloting my new business. I do interior design from the soul. I have a 3-session thing. Normally it costs $500, but because I'm just starting, it's $249. Would you and your friend like, you just got to sell your first one and start delivering it. Like sometimes what people will do is they'll go off and they'll be creating, you know, their websites and their products and their other things without any connection to income or clients, and they'll end up feeling kind of fearful because they don't really know, is this ever going to sell or whatever. It's like, I would encourage you from the beginning to see where the receptivity is. And then I've noticed some people, we worked with a wonderful man named I'll call him Tom in the Southwest, and he came out of a bankruptcy and he wanted to start a life coaching business. And when he got his habits of looking every day at the flows of his income, when he really looked at what was coming in and what was going out, and he got really masterful with his systems, he saw, oops, Papa needs cash flow, and he went out and got a part-time job so he would have some structure in place where he could then launch his business from there. And I'm not saying that Donna should do that, but I'm just saying one of the things that we can sometimes get in this idea is like, I'm following my vision, but there's no income to support it. That's not actually healthy. It would be like saying, I'm going to exercise, but I'm not going to eat. And that's really not healthy. So I think there's something about welcoming the receptivity and from the beginning of any endeavor, and that's a little bit speaks to this family with the adult kids, is there real giving and receiving happening? And I don't know whether or not you should, you know, pay for your adult kids, but are they contributing to the household or are they just being receivers? So there's something about healthy giving and receiving so that everything becomes in vital circulation.
How's that feeling for you, Donna?
Yeah, that feels really good, but I still have, like, you see, I just want to clarify, you said something about building the websites. You see, that's what I feel like I need to be doing, right? I need to build all the systems around it to be able to you know, whatever, all the administrative stuff of it. Now, I know I have to invest in myself and find someone that's like mastered it or it's really working efficiently for them, but that means I need to invest in, you know, either a coaching program or like an expert that has expertise in that. But then I'm saying to myself, okay, if I'm investing in that, that means I'm taking money away that I need to be living off right now because those are my living expenses that need to be covered. And I said, do I need to be investing or what do I need to do in my spiritual practice to bring me deeper into not having necessarily to invest in that expertise service right now because I don't have the funds for it, but raising my level of consciousness that will attract that and make both things happen effortlessly.
Yeah. You know, I don't know your answer, but I think I will give you a good question for your meditation, is how can I be, how am I to launch this business in excellent circulation? Because what I'm hearing is a lot of like modeling and website and administration and investing, but I'm not hearing that you're talking to people about your services and getting clients from the beginning, which I know that might seem a little bit crazy. It's like, well, don't I have to have it all perfect and ready for them before I get them? But a little bit people sometimes forget, like there needs to be some circulation from the beginning. So I think, and I don't know what the answer is tactically, Donna, your wisdom and your guidance will tell you, but I think I want you to add to this mix is like, how is circulation a part of my business? How am I receiving revenue and income as the business grows?
Okay. So that circulation would be the foundation? Because one thing is very clear. I want to build this that the foundation is just like a home, right? And it's so represented from a home to a human being, the core foundation. I want it to be like so solid. So would that put myself in what you just said, the flow of circulation? Is that what's going to create that foundation?
I think so. I think circulation is receiving, which means revenue, top-line income, clients, people who want your services, do your first workshop at a church basement or something. You know, you need to have the inflow as well as all of the outflow of investing in yourself and getting a mentor and learning how to do it. And you'll find the right ways to do that. But what I want you to really hear is to start with circulation means you start by welcoming the income as well as guiding the expenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, Ade, what do you think? I mean, you work with people like Donna all the time. What are your thoughts about this?
I'm listening to you, and the point that for me made me go, wow, you know, you don't, when you start in a business, people tell you, make sure you have your business card, your website, and blah, blah, blah. But the point that you share with Donna that is so powerful, Donna is moving in the direction of her dreams, her purpose, her passion. And Donna, you are impacting people's lives. And what Reverend Karen said is, you know, talk to the people that are already there, getting them, being in business with them,
before you, not before, but instead of focusing more on just the website, you already have people that you're moving them, you're inspiring them. Tell them about what you're doing. Use them as the foundation. And when I mean use them, you already have the resources at hand so that you can tell them what you're trying to do. You can tell them, I don't have a website. I don't believe there's anybody out there. You move them, you inspire them, and they see your work. And they're going to say, oh, I'm not going to work with you. You don't have a website. People don't even read websites anyway. So what I'm hearing is use what you've got. And there are people that you're around, your community, your tribe, to support you in moving to where you want to go rather than just getting caught up in the things that seem so heavy and tedious. That's what I hear.
Okay. Okay.
I know you like to think and digest it, so let it keep digesting. Because maybe even come back to listen to the show and this part of it and just see what comes up. But it's like using what you have right now rather than getting caught up in what you don't have and getting afraid that you can't make it happen. The resource is already around you. I know some of the things you're doing. It's already right. It's right there. And you're going to catch it.
Okay.
You're going to catch it. Okay. I know you're going to catch it. All right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, beautiful.
You're very welcome.
So glad you were on. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. And, you know, you talked about the money traps, the scarcity, the superstition, and survival. Woo! Yes. And if we can get rid of that, we will save ourselves from trauma and grief. but let's take a quick break. And I want you to talk before you go. I really want to cover, we have the celestial moments coming up. We're going to see if we can work this out. But I want to talk about the masculine and feminine qualities of wealth that you need to do. I think that's very fascinating. So we got to touch that if we don't touch anything else. Please, so we'll be right back, listeners. Well, actually, I'm not going to give you the number. You know it already because time is moving on. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And if you're just joining us, my guest is Reverend Karen Russo. Her website address is themoneykeys.com. themoneykeys.com. Check it out. And also you can get some free gifts there to all the listeners. Just go in there and it's right there. It's free. I'm looking at it. It's free. You click that button, and you get an audio and chapters of the book. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We ask that you share your show with your friends, just tweet it, text it, whichever way. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and let's do this first. Let's see. Okay. I need to do so many things here. Let's buy time. Can we buy time? I don't even know if that's possible, but I found what I'm looking for now. It's all about being the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you too, Jack Armstrong. I just love your voice. Yes, indeed. And we played a little part of a song of Karen Drucker. Money's coming to me. Karen's got those money songs. And we've got Reverend Karen Russo changing health, taking us through wealth yoga, stretching our consciousness, deleting all the programs that's not working, defragging our hard drives so we can get to a place where we enjoy life and experience life to the fullest. So we'll do Celestial Moment after we finish with Reverend Karen, because she got to go. Now, Reverend Karen, you have this intriguing idea about wealth. There's a masculine and a feminine quality to wealth. Can you talk more on that?
Yes. Well, remember earlier you asked me, what am I really about? And I said integration. One of the areas of integration is this area of masculine and feminine. So as people have been listening today, partly what you'll catch is you'll catch, oh, she's a lovely woman with a lot of masculine energy. And so part of my journey in life has been embracing femininity and masculinity within my being. And I'm very interested in how, and you know that all men and all women and all places and all projects and all things have both masculine and feminine energy, and both are valuable and creative. When it comes to wealth building, masculine God qualities of wealth are power, wisdom, clarity. And when we, in spiritual practice, what we're doing is we're deepening into the qualities of the divine that are ours to bring forward for a particular activity or a particular thing. And those masculine qualities, power, wisdom, clarity, they are very useful when we want to develop our wealth through action. So if you've been listening to our conversation and you think, you know, my area to work on is the area of habits, that often requires activating masculine God qualities. Let me be clear. Let me take action. Let me increase my knowledge through wisdom. Let me activate my power so I am courageous about pricing and offering my services as I build my foundation. So it's interesting when Donna called earlier, Donna probably is wanting to activate some of her masculine God qualities as she launches her business. Now, feminine God qualities are also connected to wealth, and those are the qualities of love, qualities of receptivity, qualities of giving and receiving in terms of the receptive aspect of God, and also the qualities of inspiration and vision. Those are the feminine God qualities. And if you think about it, when we activate those feminine God qualities like love and gratitude, receptivity and graciousness, what starts to happen is we develop our wealth through awareness. So femininity is wealth through awareness. And those God qualities are the ones that help us feel satisfied and inspired and peaceful no matter what is going on. So, for example, the person who emailed in and said, I want to give up my poverty story, that person probably wants to develop their spirituality, their sense of being connected to the loving, beneficent, generous nature of God that is always giving, always sharing, always loving, always growing. And when that connection is deeper and richer and fuller, then that individual is starting to have an awareness of gratitude and feeling wealthy no matter what. So isn't that interesting that depending on where your wealth yoga identified which area you want to grow in, you may be choosing to empower different qualities?
Yeah, that's a new way of looking at wealth. I've never heard that before. And I'm writing down, scribbling down as you were talking. So it's about the action and the awareness. And, when you were talking, I was thinking, well, it seems like the feminine side is what I need to develop. But there are places where, you know, I need to take action. When I gave my example, the part about getting clear, getting accurate, you know, not just saying, okay, I see the picture, but actually changing the habits and the behavior. And receptivity, that's something that I'm getting better at allowing myself to receive and don't want to ask for help or I do it myself. Not out of I don't want no help. It's just, it just seems like asking for help in my mind being sometimes like, oh, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. They got things to do. So is it possible to work on both? Possible. I mean, that's what I use. You know, can we be challenged, I guess, that's another word, in both the masculine and the feminine quality when it comes to wealth?
Yes, and think about it. Both are valuable and both need to be cultivated. So that's a really good point. And in fact, if you think about a healthy, just even in a healthy individual or a healthy relationship or a healthy business, it probably has, you know, elements of both that are active and real and juicy and coming forward. So the answer is definitely both are important. And just even having the awareness that both are in play, you know, can help us be even more. Part of what we've been learning here is we've been learning about being more masterful and deliberate and conscious about developing ourselves as wealth creators rather than just strategies about how to get money. And so just even knowing that there's masculine and feminine starts to have us be a little bit more effective.
Yes. So the masculine, once again, is power, wisdom, and clarity. And the feminine is love, receptivity, you said giving and receiving.
And graciousness. Let's do it that way.
Graciousness.
Love, receptivity, and graciousness. When our when our femininity is really active in our wealth, we're really grateful for what we do have. And we start to feel wealthy right now.
Mm-hmm. And when the feminine and the masculine are balanced, that's the perfect marriage. You can take care of scarcity. You really are in that place of oneness. And when you're in a place of oneness, you've embodied truth. Yes. Wow, I got so much out of this. I feel like I was in class. Speaking of class, well, before, you know, I have other questions. We have some other email questions, but we can't get to that. We just have to bring you back. Can you tell us anything you're doing, upcoming events, class, teleconference, early summit, or if there's anything else that you just want to share with the listeners that I didn't ask you?
Oh, very sweet. You know, this summer 2012, I'm going to be doing some deeper conversations and some open calls around the masculine and feminine qualities of wealth. So the way to make sure that you get those emails and you get connected to them would be to join our email family. And the easiest way to do that would be to go to themoneykeys.com. Go ahead and get your free book chapter and audio to get you started, and then you'll be in our email family and you'll be able to hear about those calls this summer. And then the other thing I'll say is I'm very active on our Facebook like page, fan page, which is Karen Russo, Your Spiritual Guide in Wealth. And so please come and find me there if you've got – and you know what, Ade, if people have questions that they want to post onto that Facebook page, I'm happy to answer them there and then also CC your page as well so we can keep the conversation going.
Got it. Yes, yes. Because, I mean, I feel like I sat in class with you because I set the intention that I'm going to learn something that's going to shift my consciousness today. And I've learned so much. I got notes today. I'm writing in pen and red
and you know,
black.
And I want to thank you because your authenticity and your commitment to really, obviously, to making such a big contribution and making a difference and being a beneficial presence, like every time you grow in what you're doing, it's going to continue to benefit all of your listeners and your clients and the world. So thank you so much. And to Celeste, too. I appreciate you.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Reverend Karen Russo. You've shifted my consciousness, and now I'm going to do a video testifying. Thank you, Jesus. thank you. You bring in such a loving, compassionate way and gentle way, and you know, I'm grateful for the work you do. I'm grateful for the fact that we connected, and definitely going to be bringing you back. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, blessings to you, and lots of love. Thank you all.
Yes, indeed. Life is good. It's getting better. Wow. Thank God for teachers like Reverend Karen Russo. What can I say? Not much. It's all been said. I just got to bring Celeste on to do Celestial Moment. You get ready to release the show. I mean, I got so many notes. I'm taking notes over here, trying to listen and be present and taking notes. And, you know, it's such a beautiful thing when we can release the fear about money and the challenges in between. It's just time to live life fully and embrace spirituality, embrace money. And if people say money is the root of all evil, just look at them and say, "Oh, really? Okay, I got another appointment with my accountant. I got a project I'm working on." Well, what we got now is Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, who is waiting patiently. And she that's one thing, she does have patience, and I'm so grateful for that, because if she didn't have the patience, I'd kick her off and was like, "Go away. I can't deal with people who are impatient."
So
because you're impatient, is why you're still here. No, I'm only yeah, oh, you're very alive, so stay alive.
So are you. Okay.
But here's the thing, it's not even about you. I just confessed. I just told my own story. Like, if you were impatient, I would have kicked you away. So if people can say, "Wow, he's so mean. He's not as compassionate." It had nothing to do with you. So just, that's okay.
I know,
it's
right?
On your side.
You got it, buddy. That's right.
Ooh,
you
Lord.
It. You got it. You know,
ooh,
you're so abundant
Lord.
In wise sayings, Life Coach today. That's why I'm so happy. You know, to play with you every day. This is my lunchtime. Thank you so much for being you. And I love Reverend Karen Russo. You know that. Y'all, we know we playing. We family. All is well.
So what you got for us today?
Well, this is what's up. So today's celestial moment is actually your last gift in recognition of Life Conversations Radio Network anniversary. Because you joined Blog Talk Radio on June 18, 2008. And remind you again, you better not ever forget this. The number 7 was running that day. I'll remember it for you. So we're going to double that right now. Talking about your bunnies, huh? We're going to double your 7. And this celestial moment is for you. Okay? So, oh, wait, there were some people in the chat room. I saw Electra. We don't do shout-outs, girl. He don't like
no,
that.
No, we don't
like,
do shout-outs.
How you doing? Donna,
you
so
can't do
shout-outs
to Nahali.
I know, right?
Three, at 4 Saggy, and all the other people.
Wow, or
do shout-outs.
Cam. I'm not shouting out to any of you. Life
no,
today
no, don't do shout-outs, please. Don't do shout-outs. I'll be upset with you. We can't do shout-outs to Donna. We don't do shout-outs. You know,
that's
but,
right.
So
I'm glad we didn't shout out. We shout in.
Nice one.
I have a great memory, too. So, good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Thursday, June 21st, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2039. Add 2039, and the energy of the day equals 14. Yeah, we doubled that number. 14 is the Temperance card in tarot. In Mother Peace Tarot, 14 shows up as a healer, dancing between water and fire. She's inviting the universe to supply her every need. 14's receptive side is 5, which shows up as the Hierophant, the High Priest. We are reminded to be the master of our own lives. The 14th letter of the alphabet is N, and words like now, new, and nourishment connect us to the powerful magic of 14. Today, we are going to put the spotlight on the dog. The dog shows up as 14 in the medicine cards. Dog, you are so noble until the bitter end. Your medicine is the teaching of true and loyal friends. If a person carries dog medicine, he or she is usually serving others or humanity in some way. Here you will find light workers, charity workers, the philanthropist, the nurse, the counselor, the minister, and the soldier. These people embody the loving gentleness of a best friend and the half-wild protector energy of territorial imperative. But I offer a word of caution to my loving, trustworthy friends. Remember to be so selfish that you can be so selfful that you can give from the overflow. Learn to be loyal, best friend, and lover to yourself. People with dog medicine are asked to look at how their gifts of loyalty is connected to their need for approval. That's not where we are today. We give from our natural flow because we understand that love under any condition is not unconditional love. Use your body wisdom with introspective play to guide you to
into abundant realities and eliminate the poverty consciousness by remembering to serve yourself. All is well. And that's the story of 14 through the dog and medicine cards. Have a wonderful weekend. And one more time, happy anniversary, Life Coach today. I'm so glad
you
said yes to Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you on Monday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. On Tuesday, you've been we're talking to the guest we're having on Tuesday. I married myself.
Yes.
Desiree Mooney and
Nadine Schweiger.
I got
go ahead, Al. So proud of you.
So,
they're wonderful. I'm so excited.
You've been doing research. Well, just one thing, would you want to leave with listeners? Just to tease them enough to come back and listen to that show. I mean, not just that show, but it's
right. Because it's going to be off the chain. I mean, next week is going to be off the chain. I mean, Sylvia is family, and it's always wonderful when return guests come back, right?
Yes.
And Sylvia has that joy and that glow anyway. She's going to check in with us mid-year. Love it. But Nadine and Desiree, I have to say, I am so fortunate right now, you know. You want to come back. You want to check them out. I get to talk to them, and they've been blessing me. Shoot, I might have to have my own wedding. I said it. And I don't plan weddings, okay? I've never daydreamed about getting married. But there is something about talking to them and feeling their energy and how they're living life and how they're showing up. Can you imagine being bold enough to say yes to yourself? Now, I'm playing. I'm not going to marry myself, but I think I have energetically through my walk. And they just inspire me. They really do. Come back. Check them out. You'll have some new sisters by the time you're done with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about that.
You know, I love the way it worked out, you know, because we were trying to get them early part of June.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice way to wrap up the month. We've been focusing on love, abundance, and relationships. And it's just really powerful that they will come towards the end and the whole thing. We started the month with Beth Young, didn't we? Talking about emotional freedom.
Energy clearing.
Yes, that's right. We can clear our own energy, do our own healing, take care of the relationship with ourselves. I mean, I wanted them earlier, but it's just turned out perfectly. Reverend Karen Russo helping us to get better with our relationship with money. You know, I am grateful. I'm grateful for the natural flow of life.
And we can't forget we had one talking about this subject, but you were inspired coming up with the theme for the month, love, relationships, and abundance. And having Tara Sonora and One show up on Monday, I have gone back and re-listened to that show at least twice. I mean, I always go back and re-listen. It's a part of my medicine. I mean, I'm not just playing. I mean, this is playground for me, but when I get upset, I don't even call you. I don't even call anybody. I plug in my iPod and check out a show. That's what I do. And I listened to Tara. It was phenomenal. And we can't forget, you know, Edwin Gaines either, the Four Spiritual Laws. And they all dance so well together. And I'm rocking Reverend Rio. Wow. It's been a great week, man.
It's been a great month. Yes, indeed, indeed. And it gets better. We got some more guests coming. I mean, I'm really grateful. And, you know, Reverend Karen was talking about the oneness and law of co-creation. You know, when we book a guest, when we reach out to a guest, we kind of go back and forth sometimes with date, as you know. Sometimes we come for a date and the date has to change and we have to go find out. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know. But, you know, things just work out naturally. Things just work out naturally. And it's part of the abundance where we can just trust the process. And I thank you for being part of this wonderful process and creating a space where listeners can be nourished, be fed, and grow in consciousness. And so thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. And,
my pleasure.
I'll see you on Monday, and we'll have Celestial Moments around 1.
I know. That's why I say around 1. You got to be on the feminist side of that. And I want to thank the listeners, too, for keep calling in and giving us great questions. You all are so beautiful. You're always welcome home.
Indeed. Welcome home. Welcome home. It's time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Come back and listen. Share the show. Have a conversation, especially, you know, if you're still having some money issues. Start your wealth yoga.
go to Reverend Karen Russo's website, themoneykeys.com, themoneykeys.com. We have everything we need to really experience what we feel deep inside of us. Let's see. Okay, Celeste said, what's up, Celeste? Thanks for the acknowledgement.
Hey, girl.
She said, not a shout-out, she said to you.
right. We don't do that, girl.
We don't do shout-outs.
You better release that show, man.
She said, I just signed up to receive Karen's free report. Thanks for introducing me to her work. I appreciate you, Addie. Yes, indeed, I signed up for it, too. It's time to make a difference in the world, and we need money. Money's energy. Give it a minute that works for you. Give it a meaning that works for you. One that sets you free, not one that keeps you blocked and all the other stuff. All right, Celeste, we're getting ready to release the show. You know that doesn't always mean an end.
Are you going to play a song, though?
I got to play a song. You know, song is like you praying twice. I don't know which one yet, but I'm sure Spirit will tell me which one to play. Let's play Karen Drucker. Karen Drucker, to find out more about Karen Drucker, she had the one money's coming to me, and then my money's like a bunny. KarenDrucker.com. We had Carly Jackson, Lesson of Oneness. And when we're back on Monday, let's see. I'm going to play something by Carly, something different, and then I listen to what I need to play next, and then I can let you know. I may play a bit of Abraham. I don't know. So we'll be right back. What?
Abraham, really? Okay.
I don't
even
know what I just said.
Now. You said you're going to play Abraham.
What did I say?
Just a little bit. You say maybe you'll play a little bit of Abraham.
Oh, okay. All right.
See, you play too much. You know what? I'm muting.
No, it's not that. When I talk, I just allow the words to come through me, even though people.
Okay, then you're playing Abraham next then.
Okay, that's what I said. Okay, we'll see. Let's take a quick break, and I'll see what I play next. Yes, indeed, Life Conversations Radio. Let's do this. It's Thursday. And where it may not be when you listen to the show again, but who cares whatever day it is? Just tell yourself TGIF. You know why? What that means? It means thank God I am free. So you're free to love. You're free to play. You're free to have fun.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
And I will see you there. And I will see you on Monday. Okay, so let's go so excited about Abraham. So I'm sure she's connecting to the collective consciousness of all the listeners. So I'm going to play something about Abraham, and this is called Learning to Allow. Learning to Allow. Because the truth is we have everything we need. We are connected with the one source. God is all there is. There is no spot where God is not. So even in the challenges, God is there. In the no money, God is there. In the stories of poverty, God is there. All we've got to do is allow God to show up. You've got to change your habit. You've got to change your behavior. You've got to affirm. You've got to change your belief system. And you've got to do your spiritual work. You've got to do your spiritual work daily. Meditation, forgiveness. That's it. That's wealth consciousness. Be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. Why not? If other people are not doing it, make a commitment to be true to yourself. And just as important, we're talking about circulation. Be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. Beloved, this is Abraham. And if I'm inclined, if I'm led to, I'm going to play another song after that. But right now, this is Abraham reminding us how to learn to allow. To find out more about Esther and Jerry, Esther's still on this planet. And Jerry has made his transition, but I'm sure he's still orchestrating stuff. You can find out more about them by going to AbrahamHicks.com. Abraham Hicks, Abraham-Hicks.com to find out if Jerry and the crew are coming to your neighborhood. And if you can, get it online. Here we go. Learning to allow. I love you, and I'm so grateful for you being here. Peace and blessings, and I'll see you on Monday, 12 o'clock. Not around 12, but at 12 o'clock Eastern. How about?
Often people will say, well, Abraham, why are we set up this way? In other words, why does it have to be hard if we are pure positive energy and then we are born into these bodies? Why are we so assured that there will be resistance surrounding us? Why does there have to be so much that we worry about that gets our attention and that sets up resistance within us and keeps us from being in the place of allowing that we so much want? And we say, it is because the benefit of the contrasting environment is millions of times more valuable than the negative is detrimental. In other words, if you did not have the ability to discern difference, you could not prefer. And if you could not prefer, you could not vibrationally summon source. And if you could not vibrationally summon source, then we would all cease to be. And so the entire universe is based upon our ability to conclude the new idea, which is the summoning forth of the new life into the new space. And then you say, but wouldn't it have been better if we could have had an environment where it was easier to stay connected? And we say, there is no environment that is easier to be connected than an environment in which you are free to choose thought. And you say, but it's hard to choose a thought that feels good when there's so much around me that feels bad. And we say, only because you haven't practiced it that way. Only because you've been convinced that you've got to clamor around the problem in order to find the solution. And there is truth in some of that. The clamoring around the problem is what is giving birth to the desire, you see. And so it's all an integral part of all of this. There are some who say that we should not encourage you to have desire. And yet, we cannot stop you from having desire. The universe is established to produce desire. There are some who say it is inappropriate to have desire. And we say, those are only those who have not figured out how to find vibrational alignment with the desire. So the desire is always painful. We understand why you would not want to have a desire that is painful, but the only reason it is painful is because you have not yet learned how to allow. So then you say, well, how do we allow? And we say, you find a thought that feels good and practice it until it becomes your proclivity. And you say, oh, that's far too simple. There's got to be something bigger than that. There's got to be something a lot more than just feeling good. And we say, there is nothing more important than that you feel good. Because when you feel good, you've got control of your vibration. And when you've got control of your vibration, you are the deliberate creator of your experience. So when you say, why do we have to allow? We say it is because you were born into an environment where there are choices. You were born into an environment where there is variety. In other words, if you lived in a household where everybody thought exactly the same way and nobody had any contention about anything, everybody wanted everything exactly the same, you were all born to love pizza and you were all born to love milk and you were all born to love the color yellow and you were all born to love hardwood floors instead of carpeted floors. And you were, in other words, if you were all born with these samenesses, you say, oh, we would get along so famously. We all sing the same songs and we do the same things. And we say, you would not be stimulated to a new idea. And a continuing life force could not continue to be drawn within you because you need, we all need, an active calling. That's big. We all need an active calling. There has to be an activation of that summoning of energy. And as long as there is an activation of that summoning of energy, then life continues. And it is our promise to you that life will always continue. And so you say, well, this activation of this energy is a good thing, but my resistance to it is not a good thing. Why do I have to learn allowing? And we say, you would not have to learn allowing if you had not learned disallowing. And you say, that's my point exactly. Why was I born into an environment where I learned disallowing? Why do I have to go back now and learn how to allow? Shouldn't I just naturally allow? And we say, because you wanted the environment of difference and you needed to find your bearing and you needed to find your place and you needed to decide what you want. In other words, We promise you, you did not want to come into an environment where you just said yes, 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 yes to all of it. You wanted to say yes, no. Well, maybe. Well, what do I think? What do I conclude? What is my preference? Otherwise, your perspective has no value if you are not here to decide, to discern, to prefer something new, you see. So then you say, but I thought we are all one. And we say, we are all one, playing off one another for the purpose of coming up with a new idea. And you say, well, it's painful because now I have to learn how to allow all over again. And we say, you'll be all right. You can use your guidance system to know. If you don't get too far from where you are, it's always easy to bring yourself back to center. And even if you do get far from where you are, it's still easy to bring yourself back to center. It just takes deciding that feeling good is worth something. And practicing with real determination to feel good for no other reason than to feel good. And in time you show yourself that allowing is not a big issue. It's easy to allow. In fact, it is your dominant proclivity. You would much rather love than not love. You know how we know that? When you don't love, you feel miserable. You would much rather praise than criticize. You know how we know that? Because when you criticize, you feel awful, and when you praise, you feel wonderful. You would much rather know your success and know your value than to feel that you do not have value. You know how we know? Because we feel your pain when you choose the other. In other words, we think that it must be so easy to know the stove is hot. In other words, that does not feel good. It does not feel good to put your hand on a hot stove. And we do not understand sometimes why it is so hard to take your hand off the stove. And you say, my mother had her hand on the stove. Her mother had her hand on the stove. Our family puts its hand on the stove. It's just what we all do. The day I was born, they put my hand on the stove. And we say, but now you get to decide how you like it. And you say, but it's hard. Do I dare take my hand from the stove? And we say, risk it and try it. And you say, ah, it is sweet relief when I take my hand from the stove. But look, my mother still has her hand on the stove, and my government still has its hand on the stove. They've all got their hand on the stove. Who am I to find the relief of not putting my hand on the stove? And we say, all right, put your hand back on the stove if you want to. But understand that you get to allow or not allow. These are your choices. We're wanting you to understand that it's not hard to allow. In fact, the hardest thing of all is to learn patterns of not allowing who you are. It's a lot harder to be confused than to be clear-minded. It's a lot harder to be sick than it is well. It's a lot harder to not have enough money than to have enough money. It's a lot harder to be negative than to be positive. It's a lot harder to be pessimistic than to be optimistic. The hard, 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 hard thing is not allowing. It's easy to allow. You just have to give yourself permission to do it and practice it a little bit. You are on your own in this, and you like it that way. You came into this environment knowing that you would be in an individual consciousness that would have your individual preferences, and that anything that you in your powerful individualness identify as your desire source energy will answer. It is our expectation that you will prove to yourself that you have the ability to let it in. It is so much easier than you think. There's just one thing that you have to remember. It is good to feel good. It is good to feel good. Clarity is your natural state of being. Healthy is your natural state of being. Eager is your natural state of being. Loving is your natural state of being. It is natural for you to have desire, and it is natural for you to anticipate happy outcomes. And it is natural for you to love, and it is natural for you to sing, and it is natural for you to play. It is natural for you to skip. It is natural for you to be joyful. It is natural for you to know well-being. It is natural for you to expand. It is natural for you to question. It is natural for you to find interest. It is natural for you to want more. and it is natural for you to feel good. And anything else is resisting the natural state of who you are. There is great love here for you. We are complete.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Dynamic of harmonizing good. Allow it to flow through your soul because inside it will make you whole. I'm talking about you being you. Because no one else can set you free but you.
I'm putting gas in my car. I'm thinking about the war in Iraq. The air we breathe in is toxic and there's way more than that. The situation's international. Matter of fact, it's intergalactic. But don't make me get into that. Don't see how some be sleeping on the streets while others they be living a life that's so sweet. I envision a world where everyone's needs will meet. Living off the earth in harmony and peace.
The only reason some still be packing heat
is because their lives is so incomplete. We were all born perfect with everything we need to be free. Yet something happened, man, we stopped believing all we could be. Let's remember we're a part of nature. Expressing love is what we're made for. Deep in your heart, the answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. Don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe. Say, I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony. One world, one family. I ain't weighing on nobody, cause I'ma be the change, it's all tsunamis, wars and famines, between religions, misunderstandings, many different people with the same passions, just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction and see we receiving exactly what we asking. Am I focused on lack and limitations, fear and separation, and I'm open to a new conversation. I'm talking about the love vibration, everybody unification. A change is moving across the nation, yeah. And real communication is cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing, but more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we give. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony, one world, one family. I ain't weighing on nobody, cause I'ma be the change, it's all in me. If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony, one world, one family. I ain't weighing on nobody, cause I'ma be the change is me.
The world needs us to be ourselves. The world needs us to wake up and to be real. Are you down? Are you ready? Are you awake? Are you alive? In this very hour, you'll listen and take the vow that will set you free. I know what I'm talking about.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.